Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using KixPlex SM's Batch Wrap. Today's presenters are Brad Dixon and Michael Barrett. Brad has been working in IBM support for 24 years as a Kix Level 2 rep. He has experience in Kix, CPSM, and the Kix tools. Mike joined IBM in September 1987 as a system engineer with the Professional Services Organization. Over the years, he has provided NVS and Kix system programming assistance to customers. In February of 2005, he joined the CPSM change team. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Brad and Mike.
Good afternoon or good morning or wherever you happen to be. Welcome to the batch rep presentation. Joseph, could you go to slide two, please? So this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what batch rep is, getting started with it, submitting a job, migration, and some gotchas at the end. Today we'll be looking at using CPSM Batch Rep Repository Update Facility. We'll take a look at what you need to do to get started and the various ways you can submit requests. We'll take you through a KixPlex migration that involves migrating from KixPlex 3.2 to 4.1. I'll also point out a few things to look out for along the way. That's the main idea here. The presentation is not applicable to EYU9XDBT. That utility is used during installation and to set up your KixPlex system environment. Here we're going to be talking about moving resources. Slide three, please. What is it? What we do is we manage data repositories, we create large number of definitions very quickly, and we speed up the definition process. Batch Rep Update Facility allows you to create, update, list, and remove and dump records from the data repository on the local CMAS. We'll use the EYU9XDBC utility. Batch Rep Repository Facility can streamline the process of managing your data repositories, allows you to dump definitions from KixPlex SM DREP to a sequential data set or as a member of a PDS. So this is taking the data and off of DREP and putting it basically into a flat file. Batch Rep is most useful when you have a large volume of definitions to update. For example, when you're moving an application from one CMAS to another. And in that case, it's like moving your files, your transaction definitions, your program definitions. You can move it all in one fell swoop instead of piecemeal beating your brains out with CETA. You can create standard input files to add the definitions to the data repository instead of using multiple view screens repeatedly like in the WUI, having to go through and define and define and define. Slide four. So getting started in this, we create an input-output data set, then we go through the dumping the resource definitions, creating resource definitions, submitting a job, and using the batch rep utility submitting a job using the batch rep utility program, migrating a KixPlex, and we're going to, like I said earlier, we're going to talk about some gotchas that kind of sneak up on you. When CPSM 4.1 became available, we created new Kix 4.1 regions in our test environment, and then we migrated the Plex from 3.2 to 4.1. And we're going to walk you through this process. So basically, we're going to talk about a migration and moving the resources. Slide five, please. So first of all, we've got to create an input-output data set, an I.O. And here is basically the old card format. It needs to be a record fixed block and with a record length of 80. It needs to be sequential, or it could be a PDS. Resource definitions can be in a sequential data set or as a member of a PDS and must have the fixed block format. Like I said, the old regular 80, a card format. If you're directing your output to a partition data set member, you should ensure that you've got enough directory entries in space. That's the only drawback, is that you don't want to run into a situation when you run out of directory entries. Okay, so if you could go now to slide six. So here we're going to talk about dumping those resource definitions. Go through this, create your input commands, and these input commands will be coming from that I.O. file or the PDS number that we talked about earlier. And this is an example of the command that you're going to use. And we're going to talk specifically about dumping CM to CM defs and KixFlex defs. Well, we'll talk about that a little more. The file consists of a CPSM dump command on the resource definitions to be extracted from the repository. When you use the dump command, you may use the output command to request that anything out of the dump will generate a create command on the output data set. In addition to the normal report, you get a normal report under the CMAS job. There's a sys1000001, I believe. The output command must be the first command in the batch rep data set stream. Ensure that the command precedes any dump commands. You cannot specify more than one output command, like you can't send output to multiple data sets. The output data set will contain create commands that can now be used for your input. One of the little things there about end quotes, we normally use end quotes in most of our jobs. And when you're doing this, when you dump from the repository, this ensures that the parameters values themselves are end quotes. And so that when we read for the input, we'll stop at the end quotes. And sometimes what happens is embedded parentheses get there and will cause a bad definition. So just as a practice, we use end quotes on dropping, on dumping, and we use end quotes on adding quotes, on creating. Slide 7, please. You may want to create the output data set to see if there's any definitions that need to be modified before submitting them. And these are a couple of examples. Always, after you've dumped from EYU DREP, you need, and before you use these dump definitions, you need to go through and make sure that when you do the create, that you're creating what you expect. And this is one of the main points about this presentation also, is that you need to know where you're coming from and where you're going to. So in these create commands, these are a couple of the creates that need to be modified, and they are like your CM to CM def target name, like I can't be pointing back to myself, I need to know where I'm going, and your KixFlex def. Like if you're creating a new KixFlex, you need to change that definition. Slide 8. So we go through batch rep, submitting a job. You submit the job using three different ways. You can go through the WUI. You can actually issue the batch repository update utility as JCL. And then you can use the CPSM API using the batch rep resource table. Use one of these methods. Don't use all of them at the same time. So submitting a batch repository update job that processes the same definition in quick successions may result in one or more control statements failing. We're going to go through the order in which you need to dump the definitions and the order in which you need to create your definitions on the new repository. But sometimes you got to make sure that the resources have been fully created before you try to use them. We'll talk about that more in depth later. Slide 9. Here we're showing the slides. These are some typical WUI slides that you've all gone through. So once you select the record, first of all, you've got to open the batch rep repository update request from the admin's views. And then select the record you intend to submit and click execute. This opens the execute view. If no batch repository update jobs are running, then only the dummy stopped record is available for selection. So here you can also use the check command instead of the execute. But check, keep in mind that check, the only thing it does is checks the syntax. It doesn't check for content, and it doesn't check the order of content. The only thing it does is just check the syntax. So you fill in the execute view by updating the input dataset name, specifying the name of your PDS or your sequential data set containing the input to the batch repository update job. The input member name, where using a PDS, specifies the name of the member that contains the input to the batch repository update job. Class, print class is optional. You can specify any character A1 to any character class. You omit this value, class A is assumed. The print node specifies the 8-character identifier for the designation node that it's supposed to go out to. And the designation user ID is just an identifier that you can add. You can put your TSO user ID or whatever you'd like. To apply updates to a particular data repository, you must ensure that the WUI server connects to the CMAS, which is associated with the data repository you want to update. So in this case, if you're dumping from CMAS A, you need to make sure that that WUI server connects directly to CMAS A. You can't dump from CMAS B if your WUI is connected to CMAS A. Slide 10. So this is what is required, your CMAS name, whether you're going to check or execute, your input dataset name, input number, print class, so forth and so on. Slide 11. This is the definitions. These are what those fields really mean. We've already talked about those. This is just for reference. Slide 12. The diagnose and no diagnose is not required. I think the default is no diagnose. You only use these under when you're talking to level 2 or level 3 or some support personnel, when we're trying to figure out what's going wrong with a batch rep. Slide 13. So the batch rep utility program, this is basically the JCL that can be submitted as a true batch job. The batch rep update utility connects to a CMAS and submits a batch rep update to the CMAS. To make batch rep repository updates to a particular data repository, you need to run the utility so that it connects to and submits the batch rep updates to run in the CMAS that is associated with the data repository that you want to update. Here again, it's just saying you got to run this JCL on the same L part that the CMAS is running on. In order to run the utility, you need to prepare the necessary JCL and define input parameters for the utility itself. And this is basically what we've talked about before in the WUI. The output of the batch rep utility is a short report that lists the output parameters and messages to show the CMAS in which the batch rep updates have been submitted. So what you need to do is to go into STSF, find your CMAS job, and open it up and take a look at the output report from batch rep. The batch rep update that runs in the CMAS produce an output using the standard CSCS spooling facilities. Here again is that report. You need to review that report to make sure that your batch rep ran cleanly. Slide 14. So this is an example of issuing the batch rep request through the API. Notice here that we are defining our input dataset names as defined constants, and then we're actually accessing the batch rep resource table. So the batch rep repository updates can be submitted through an application program, and like I said, it's using the batch rep table. If you're familiar with CPSM API, you're familiar with resource tables and all that they can do and not do. Let's go on to slide 15. We pointed out this APAR at the top, and basically it deals with the WUI interface. And the WUI interface, before this APAR is applied, if you do an update and you change data set or you fill out everything on the WUI screens and you submit the job and the job completes and you come back, the screen there is blank. So what happens here is this PK72114, what that does is it remembers the last input that you had and it stays there. So it's just you don't have to type everything in over and over again. So we're talking about the batch rep, and this goes against the resource table. The valid API operations are get and perform. The parameters get gives you your input dataset name and input number, and then your actions are check and execute. You can go back to page 9 if you like to look at that, but like I said, this APAR PK72114 just remembers what you filled in on those screens and keeps it there for you. Very convenient. Slide 16. So now we're going to talk about the migration. Recently, we created a CPSM 4.1 environment, which consists of a CMAS, a WUI, a TOR, and an AOR, and it's going to be used for testing locally. We migrated the Plex called PlexSir from one of the CPSM 3.2 CMASs to the new CPSM 4.1 CMAS. The new Plex will be called PlexEUR instead of PlexCER. This is an example of how it was accomplished, and so we'll go through those steps. All the CPSM dump commands are in a member called MigratePlex, M-I-G-R-Plex, and that's another one of the PDSCs. So let's look through that. Is the migrations, the commands are in MigratePlex. And we're going to talk about configuration, topology, VAS, monitoring, RTA, WLM, and syslink. And it's important that this is the way that we dump our resources because these are the things that are going to be used for creation. Slide 17. So we're ready to dump. We list the records from the data repository and insert a create control statement in front of it. That's what happens on the dump command. You can use the output results from the dump command as input for another batch repository update job that creates the definition. So we have dump, we turn around, we edit the results of the dump, and then we do the create. Slide 18. Continuing the example of the migration. So in this case, let's look through this. The output data set name is mikeb.batchref.plexout, and the PDS member is CREplex. And that's going to be our create plex. And here again, we use in quotes yes. That's just to cover, make sure that we are only moving, we only read things up to the quotation marks. The context here is MWB C0C1. This is the name of the CMAS that Mike, this is one of Mike's CMASs. So we're going to set this, the context to the CMAS instead of to the plex because we haven't created the plex yet. And these definitions that we are dumping are specifically CMAS related. It gives us our CM to CM definition and gives us a target name of who we're going to contact, and then our KixPlex definition. And we're going to get this off of MWC0C1. This is PlexCer CER CMAS. Slide 19, please. So here again, now we've changed the context to PlexCer, so we're dumping resources that the context is related to the KixPlex itself, not the CMAS. We'll be going through a lot of slides very quickly here. The main reason we've got these, and I'll say it again, is that we want to make sure that when you dump and create resources, you create them and dump them in this order to alleviate failures. So this is context PlexCer. The first thing we're going to dump are topology records. And we start out with a period def, followed by a KIX system definition, followed by a KIX system group. Then we have our linkages, our links in groups, and our links in systems. So we make sure that we can't create a KIX group without having the KIX systems first defined to put in that group. So this is the reason that we talk about going through this, and some of them are kind of confusing about what comes first, the chicken or the egg. But in this case, we want to make sure that you create them in order. Slide 20, please. These are VAS resources. That's the next thing to dump. And VAS, of course, is your largest. If you're using CBSM to do your resource definitions with create, VAS is a very large group. It handles all of the KIX definitions. But before we define anything, we have to define our groups. So we do our res group, followed by res desk, by our rasing def, which is resource assignment in definition, res resource assignment description, and res desk, resource in description. Slide 21, please. So here we're going to start going through a lot of slides very quickly. The main thing here is that you can cut and paste out of this presentation and insert it right into your batch rep jobs to run yourself. But here again, the connection definition has to be defined before the session definition. The DB2 connection needs to be defined before the other DB2 definitions. Even these BAS definitions have to have a certain order in which they're defined to DREP. If they get out of order, then you get into situations where the batch rep job fails or you have definitions out there that you don't know where they came from and don't make any sense at all. Slide 22, please. And here we're going to keep going. Slide 23. This is mainly for cut and pasting and for your benefit. Slide 24. Here we talk about files in groups and files in your Java stuff. So slide 25. All of these need to be in order. Slide 26. 527. The BAS Association records, we have to have certain things in groups. So until those definitions, you can't define a group or things in your linkage sections until you have the resources defined. Slide 28. I'm going through monitoring definitions next. These are a little bit smaller than all of those CICS definitions. But here again, the MON spec has to be defined before the MON group. The MON group has to be defined before the monitoring definition. So all of these have to be in particular order. Slide 29. RTA has the same requirements to make sure that you have your specs defined before your actions and eval desks. Slide 30. Workload, if you have a workload definition defined, the hierarchy has to be the same. Slide 31. The last thing we dump are the syslinks. From and to our CICS definitions, from your TORs to your AORs, all of those have to be the last thing that you get out of the EYU DREP. So now we have slide 32. So now we have everything nice, safe, and sound in our new PDS in the correct format, and they have create commands. So here, the dump command will produce create commands, which you will use to rebuild the KixPlex. Here we've created a member called CreatePlex, C-R-E-Plex, to perform the creates for the new KixPlex. When creating your input file, you must first identify the context CMAS or CPlex, KixPlex, to which the updates apply. So since the first thing we're going to do is create our Plex definitions and our CMAS height definitions, the context is set to MWBE instead of C, 0Charlie01. This is the new CMAS that we've created. So these target name, target Apple, sysid, all of this is creating your CM and create your CM to CM def. That builds the first guy. Slide 33. Now we're going to create a KixPlex def. This is still under the same, in order to create a KixPlex, you have to have the context set to the CMAS. So this is you're still under the context of the CMAS, and here we're creating the new Plex called Plex CER, but that's wrong. That's what we've just created. It should be edited. This is important. When we dump our create commands, we dump exactly what's on the existing CMAS. So this needs to be updated to EUR. And here we go through the typical things that you need to do to create a KixPlex step. But all of this was already done for you. You don't have to go in and change everything. Slide 34. Now we're going to go through and start changing the definitions that were dumped. And since these are Plex-related definitions, we're going to call this Plex EUR. That's the new Plex that we've just created in our previous command. Okay, slide 35. And here we go through the rest of the group. All of those dumped commands are now coming out as create. So we're creating sysdefs. And here again, you may need to edit this information. You may have new Kix regions. You may have a new naming convention for this new Plex. Slide 36. This is just more of the same of your sysdef. Slide 37. And here we are, just like from the dump commands, we're doing create commands, and we have to have our system, our CICS systems defined before we can create the CSIS group. And then our linkages between the groups within groups and with our groups and our systems within groups. Slide 38, resource definitions, your prog defs, your resource descriptor, resource groups, resource descriptors have to be defined. Resource assignments on slide 33. We talk about our assignments. Resource assignments and descriptors. Slide 40. Connection definitions have to be defined before your session definitions on slide 40. Connection definitions have to be defined first. Slide 41, followed by session definitions. Slide 42, here again, your DB2 connections. These are CICS resources, but their order and their definition have to be there. Slide 43, system monitoring spec. One thing about this is that even if you mess up, maybe something gets messed up, and you go ahead and you create the resource, but you create it wrongly. Before you use it, you can always go in with the GUI and modify these fields and make them right. So just keep that in mind. Slide 44. We're going to let Mike start talking on slide 44. This is basically going through the migrate process, the dumps and the creates. I want to say again how important it is to keep the correct order. But Mike is going to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that sneak up on you before you know it in the batch rep process.
Try to give you a heads up on some things to look out for. Brad, now I did emphasize the editing that probably one of the shortcomings of the product is batch rep utility is that you need to do some editing before you turn around and submit your create jobs. And this first slide on 44 indicates that the update parameter, you cannot use that with a specification to a CICS group link. In this case here, it says link S, little X, SSCG. The X is M for monitor, R for RTA, W for WLM. The output from a dumped link S record does not produce the inherent options that existed for the spec. You will have to manually update these objects using the GUI or by adding the parameter to your create command. For example, if you look at your create command there, it doesn't have any inherit, so you could add something in there with a force option, for example, force or name or null or whatever. If you try to change the create command to an update command, that will fail with the following message. Put that in EYU, XUC, or 223E, I believe it is. EYU, XU0223E, which tells you the command update is invalid for the object. Slide, please. And here we're just trying to point out some errors that I encountered. First one was EYU, XU0218I. Request was complete. That's kind of what you want. You want to see the status okay. And like Brad said before, these are in the output of your CMAS office output. The next ones are some error for an invalid create. What happened here was just change agent command to something in 4.1, and I was just extracting something from 4.1 system and putting it in 3.2 valid. And the other one is the other example of the syslink entry from CPSM 3.2 could occur because there was the new link type parameter required in the syslink definition on CPSM 4.1 type as a connection resource type of either SNA or IPIC. And more, status invalid minor name, associated field CICS name. Again, what happened here is we're doing the create for a link. Link a CICS name of CVMO 0able2 to a group called AR30. And in this particular instance, the sysname CVMO 0A2 does not exist. Slide 47, please. Example that you may or may not run into, invalid CONDEF, associated fields for CONDEF. So this is, again, it's doing things out of whack, trying to create a syslink definition before the other definitions have been completed. 48, unknown scope you may get with the 218I message, associated field system. And again, this is an example of just a missing CSIS def record for CVMO 0A5. Slide 49, please. And remove. To remove an existing record from the data repository, when you remove the record, all associations between that record and other records in the data repository are lost. For example, if you remove a CICS system definition, associations between that CICS system and any CICS system groups or component specifications are also removed. From removing BAS definitions, the DefVer keyword must be specified. Slide 50, please. And just in summary, We have tried to show you some steps required to migrate a CICS Plex from one CMAS to another. And our example showed Plex CER being migrated from CPSM 3.2 to CPSM 4.1. And we used the PDS member as input for the dump command. The output command directs to create commands to a PDS member also. Remember that a sequential data set can also be used. Sequence of each dump command is such that errors may be minimized due to resources not yet being defined. Editing the create commands still should be considered before submitting them for execution. 51, please. And one final reminder. CICS Plex SM requires certain definitions to exist before others can be created. Therefore, you should adhere to the following guidelines when dumping data repository records. Always dump CICS system, sysdef, and CICS system group, the CSIS group records first. Dump basic KIXPLEX SM definition records such as XXXSDef, which could be bonddefs, RTADefs, groups, and specs before association records such as the link for the in-groups or in specs. For business application services, dump res group records before resdesk and rasgndef records. Dump resdesk and rasgndef records before res-inscription and ras-inscription records. Dump resource definition records such as file-def before file and group records. Dump condef and seshdef records before syslink records. Follow these guidelines. The output from the dump command will be in the correct order to the batch repository update facility to create the new definitions.
Well, thank you, Brad and Michael, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Tim, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Tim Ventura.
Actually, Michael, it's a two-part question, but like back on your page 13 of your presentation where you were showing some of the input control cards and stuff you can pass a batch rep job. I'm submitting batch rep jobs using JCL, using a job.
Okay.
And what I'm wondering is, rather than using that input DSN input member where I have to specify, I don't really recognize the difference, I guess, where I have to specify additional control cards, can I just name all that stuff in stream in that one single job and not have to come up with an input member to go put more stuff in?
You mean you want to have the control statements right within that?
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, like right now, I know I can. Right now, my job will name things like the CMAS, the KIXPLEX, the CMAS, and what I want to dump, let's say. But then I have to name other control cards like output data set and all that stuff in the input member that I reference. You know.
That's correct. They have to be in the data set that you reference.
And they okay, so I can't put them all in stream then.
No, they can't be in stream. It has to be in the input member, which is either going to be a sequential or a PDS member.
Okay, I get it. I understand. Okay.
Putting it in a PDS member, though, Tim, might be better off in that you can set up separate ones for each particular thing that you're interested in. Like if you're using RTA, you might want to use a member for RTA stuff, and you might want to use it, which would require less editing.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I played with this a while. The reason I was asking really is because I'm doing a lot of work with this batch rep, a lot. I've got hundreds of jobs in a data set, and it would be nice to have just 100 jobs instead of 200 members, jobs and control cards. It would have been nice to consolidate that stuff some. But it's okay. I get it. I know how to use it with the members, so I'll do that.
It's old stuff. It's kind of kludgy, but it works. And it's better than having to go through with CDNs.
It sure as heck is. conversely, the second part of that, the output I see as a, you know, I see the report that's generated as a sysout under the CMAS, I think, and it shows me that it worked properly or didn't work properly, and it has timestamps and stuff in there. And also, if I add an output member statement, output data set, I think, statement, it'll put the plain vanilla control cards in there.
That's correct.
Can I get those? Neither of which showed up in the job again that I submitted. Can I get those can I get that output, those control cards, right in the sysout of the job I submitted, or rather than have to go to reference that output data set or that you know, the CMAS SysApp?
I can't recall if the output goes into SysApp also. I don't think it does.
It does,
I think. Second thought, I think it does show.
You're going to
dumb stuff.
Insys001, you go into that, and then you find
it. Yeah, it shows you the commands. But.
Right, that's what I do. I go to the Sys001 kind of a thing under the CMAS, rather than it being part of the batch job, the batch rep job that I submitted, you know, the EYU9XDBC job.
Right. And that's where you really need to check the validity if the job ran completely good or not.
The ones who, and what's happening through the output data set or member that you're creating, which will contain all your create commands, would be up to the point of failure. So, you know, if you had 100 of them and the 99th one failed, you know, the first 98 would be correct, and then you'll see an error in the log on your CMAS. So there'd be one of them that would be wrong.
I'm with you. You're right. I'm with you. So I do actually always go to the CMAS, and I do actually always look at the job to see that I got 100 output normals successful or whatever the message is. You know, I do go look at that stuff.
But it does stop at that point once you encounter the error.
Yeah. I'm trying to avoid having to go to that third place, that output data set, and see my control cards.
Oh, yeah, you don't really have to. If you see them that they're correct, then, I mean, that's all you're interested in. You're really just interested in something that didn't work, right?
I mean, okay, that's a good answer.
Again, you still might need, you probably will need to do some editing.
Most likely I do, yes.
Yeah, if you're getting all status okays, then you're fine. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go and look somewhere else. That's what I just do, just status of okay on each one. You
know. Okay.
Yeah, 5 to repeat through it.
The next question comes from Paul Masters.
Yes, I was wondering if there has been any thought given to a copy all function. I realize having the individual database key names, if you just want to do one piece of it, but something like you're showing here, it's this huge list of things that you say has to be in the right order. And I would think an all function either for everything or at least for the database name that would then ensure that things get sequenced in the right order for us instead of us having to remember what that particular order might be this version.
With Bashref, I don't know what's planned in the future. I honestly don't know if that's going to be something available or not. And you're right. I mean, we say they got to be in order, and basically they can. I mean, basically you don't want to try to create something that resides in a group or something that's not there yet. So. You know, I mean, I know there's other utilities, XDBT, for EYU9XDBT, which will allow you to migrate the Plex. That might be something you want to look into also.
Right. That's new under 3241.
I don't know what release that came out in.
Well, there's a job, as you know, that when you change versions, you run a job that does an upgrade of the repository file, so that's what I've always used, but... I was trying to do something a long time ago and ran into this problem of each database item has different keys, so you can't just say asterisk in all cases because you have to know the key name, and like I was looking at your presentation, some of them even have multiple keys, which I didn't know, so it was really very confusing.
Well, some of those keys are secondary. You know, the primary key, you don't need to put the extra ones. I just showed you that as an example.
I see.
Where they have, if you look in the resource tables for each one of the members that you want to do, it'll show you what the primary key is. And a lot of instances, that's just name. And you can say name asterisk or name MWB, or you can use generics in there. And some of them have secondary keys or third keys or even fourth keys that you can specify. But you don't have to do those. You can just do whatever the primary key is, and it'll bring everything related to that primary key.
Okay.
I was just there for an example, mainly. If you wanted to say, well, I want all keys, but I want to refine it to a generic portion of what the secondary key is for that particular resource object.
Okay. Well, it's just in the description there, everything was asterisk, so it looked like you had to say all of these to get all the components, because I know there's multiple components.
Yeah, I was doing asterisk because I did want everything. You know, and sometimes you might get to a point where you don't need them all. Like for terminal definitions or programs, sometimes, you know, they can be quite large.
Mm-hmm.
So
but I meant, I meant for the subkeys on some of those entries.
The subkeys, yeah. I was just getting all of the subkeys had too.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like you were saying you don't really need to put those in.
You don't. You don't. I mean, you can get by with just doing the primary key. You don't have to have the secondary key or the third key or the fourth key for any specific resource table.
Now, I only ask again because I mentioned this 3 or 4 years ago about trying to copy things, and you really don't know what the names are, and you make an assumption and you get errors because, no, it isn't name. Most of them are, but some of them aren't. It's really quite complicated for an average person.
What you might want to look at then is go to the CICS Info Center and look up the EYU9X, X is an X-ray, D is in dog, B is in boy, T is in tango, and look up that utility. There's a little bit less than that one there. You're basically just telling them what the CMAS name is, and there's some skeleton JCL in there.
I see. Okay.
I think it's in the SEYU and PARM or SAMP. I'm not sure which one, but if you look up in the Info Center for EYU9XDVT utility, that might be more, it's certainly less editing than what you have to do with the one we just presented today, and that might be more suitable to what you want to do.
All right. That's more of a sledgehammer approach.
Well, at the time, what we were doing, unfortunately, the way the thing was built was we had both test and production in the same environment.
That's trouble.
Yeah.
Which I realize is not, well, and anyway, because of our requirements of audits and such, and I know the first entity, you just don't mix test and production. So I split them, and I was trying to do that, but it was becoming a mess. I ended up doing it a back doorway that I found out that other people use this technique after I did it. Because I realized IBM was going to sanction something that was not really according to the API. But I haven't worked with it since. It just seeing this again reminded me of how complicated it can be.
Oh, yeah. It can be. It can be.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Ellis McCarthy, I will open your line.
Okay, thank you. I'm kind of new to using this batch repository and had a couple of two questions. One is, if you have like a very simple change, like you're adding transactions to a work group or adding some definitions, when do those take effect? If you define them into CPSM, do I need to recycle or refresh CPSM? How do you get them to take effect?
Oh, you install them. If it's like a transaction definition and you get them on a repository, and you would just go into the WUI or whatever the BAS resource is and do an install on it. You don't have to bring down the region. I mean, that'll work, but you can use the CPSM install command.
Okay. And if I went this way as far as defining my CICS resources using the WUI, what's the big difference in using CETA and using RDO, basically?
RDO, in using CPSM, what happens is that there are a series of create commands that occur during initialization of the KIX region. And so those create commands happen first. And with CETA, it's just a hard definition, and you have it defined on that local resource, on that KIX region. Using BAS resources, that opens up a whole new world of being able to manage things at a Plex level rather than at a CICS level. But it takes a little bit for those create processes to occur. There are things that you need to be aware of about when you're using CPSM to hold on to your KIX resource definitions. And is that you have to make sure that the resource definitions are created before you try to use them. One example is like a DB2 connection definition. If you have PLT programs that access DB2, you need to make sure that connection is there before those PLT programs get a chance to run.
Is managing those resources through CPSM the preferred way or industry standard way now?
Well, depending on your environment. If you have a single KIX region, CPSM BAS resource definitions are not really going to do you a whole lot of good. If you have multiple AORs that run similar applications or different applications, managing those resources across a Plex, CPSM offers you with BAS a way to manage all of those resources in one place and gives you a single system image.
Okay, thank you.
We have no other questions in queue.
Thank you, Tim. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.